Inflation has risen at a slower pace. Data from Stats South Africa showed that the consumer price index in March rose by 4.1% on a year-on-year basis. That compares with an increase of 4.6% on the same basis in February. No doubt, limited economic activity as a result of the disaster management regulations released in the month to curb the spread of COVID-19 and the subsequent lockdown had an effect. Well, to unpack the data for us, I'm joined on the line by Siobhan Redford. She's an economist at RMB. Thanks very much, Siobhan, for joining us. So I see that while inflation rose at a slower pace, the latest print was driven in part by education tuition fees. Just tell us more.
I must say that was quite a surprise. And it was largely a higher increase in your primary and secondary education with, I'll have to double check those figures, but okay. I mean, the thing is, overall, so education did, well, education had movements. It had movements down and movements up. It sat at 6.7% for a very long time, but most of that has been based on pretty stable inflation for both primary, secondary, and then tertiary education. The difference in this particular case is that we've seen some movement, which really did feel a little bit strange. And I'll be honest, one of the reasons why I can't say I'm completely, up to, yes, kind of track on education is because it's a relatively small and not often moving component of CPI. So, you know, obviously for those who have to pay it, they would perhaps disagree quite strongly with me.
Yes.
But, when it comes to its influence on movement, education actually had very little impact on the change So we saw primary and secondary, the cost of primary and secondary education increasing to over 7%. Which, you know, is quite high, especially since it's been increasing at above inflation target levels for quite an extended period of time.
Yes.
While tertiary education has now fallen to below it at 4.7%, which is, again, a bit of a first.
Hmm. Siobhan, what were your observations in terms of fuel and transportation costs?
Sure. So, I mean, this is where it gets really interesting, right? Because you speak about how we might be seeing some of the impact of, you know, the pandemic, COVID, and lockdown. Funnily enough, we're going to have a very limited impact in this print. One of them being because of fuel, and the reason is that the fuel price we were paying in March was based on February's oil price. So you have this over and under recovery tracking that happens from month to month. And so, you know, basically whatever you over recover or under recover, you then kind of get, you're paying back into the kitty or you're receiving back in the fuel price.
Mm.
And so we're actually looking at the impact of a slight decrease in the price of Brent crude oil, about $10 per barrel over February as a result of a decline in demand specifically from China because they had their Chinese New Year, which they been extended due to COVID-19.
Yes.
So all I can say is it's actually going to be even more dramatic in forthcoming months because we're only going to see the oil price war reflecting in your fuel prices in the April print.
Yes. What about if food inflation? Any signs of a pickup there? Because particularly because just before we went into lockdown, there was some panic buying and we understand that some retailers were taking advantage and upping prices.
I mean, I have seen a little bit of information here and there, and I really should investigate a little bit further. And, the problem is a lot of that kind of information is anecdotal.
Yes.
What the print shows us, though, is that food inflation was relatively stable. It went up to 4.4% year on year, just 2.2 percentage points higher than the previous month.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a dramatic move. And what's underlying those dynamics is a lot of mixed movements. So we saw bread and cereals inflation actually falling to 3.8%, which is, you know, substantially below the middle of the inflation target. And this is driven by the incredibly good harvest, which is currently being expected this year in South Africa. You know, that means that your maize price is going to be lower. We're looking at about the last crop estimates, about a 28% increase in your summer crops.
Yeah.
And so that's going to push your prices down. Meat inflation, on the other hand, has increased and it rose by 5%, which is probably one of its highest increases in a while, but we do believe that that's going to remain relatively, you know, while there is still space for it to increase, it's going to be relatively muted going forward, given that demand is probably going to be quite weak.
Yeah. So with the economy subdued due to businesses being forced to shut down and consumers also being stuck at home, presumably we're going to see a very tepid inflation trajectory until the economy is fully, you know, up and running again.
Absolutely. I think, and I mean, there are many factors that are contributing to this, but I mean, we are going to still see the impacts, as I've said earlier, of the decrease in the oil price because of the oil price war, and it remaining low, and that, you know, based on very low demand. And it's not even just domestic low demand, which is what has been the narrative a lot for South Africa last year as we started seeing consumer confidence falling. This is now become global,
so
which means that demand is for everything is quite low.
Yes. The Reserve Bank has been like Superman wearing a cape in recent weeks, trying to inject liquidity in markets and placing a few rand back in the, you know, pockets of ordinary folk. And there does seem to be an expectation that they could do more in the future. What are your thoughts on this?
So there is definitely space for them to do more. We are expecting that they will cut by another 50 basis points at least, and that is based on the fact that we think inflation is going to be even lower than the Reserve Bank currently expects. They're expecting inflation to be 3.6%, and we're expecting it to be 3.3%, which gives them space to cut a little bit more. Also, you know, the problem is, and I mean, this is really where it has been tricky, even for the very well-seasoned forecasters at the Reserve Bank. You're dealing with a lot of anecdotal data and trying to understand what the full impact of this pandemic has been on the domestic and global economy. And so, you know, the chances of these forecasts changing and as a result policy reacting is quite high. So basically for me it's going to be a case of we're going to see one more cut, not quite as big as you say as we have seen already, and then probably a little bit of a wait and see approach to see what happens. Are we going to see this V-shaped global global recovery or not? Is it going to are we going to see further waves of lockdown globally and you know, further kind of peaks of COVID?
Yes.
And you know, that could then keep everything lower for longer. And also it's going to depend on the data. And, you know, a really good example right now, something like CPI, its data is collected in the first 3 weeks of the month, which is why we would have, you know, why the March print is quite reflective of what was available. But the whole of April has been locked down. And that means that the data collectors haven't been able to go out and get the information that they normally do.
Yes.
To add, complicate these matters even further, a number of services and goods haven't even been available for sale, which means that even though they have prices and they will be counted in the CPI, they haven't actually been on sale. And so you know, the Stats SA now are facing a situation where they're going to have to think how to deal with those prices, which they haven't been able to get, but still keep them in the basket. And then, you know, how to deal with those prices they have been able to get, but by different means compared to normal. And I think we're going to see a lot more of that kind of stuff happening with our statistics. Our GDP, we know, is going to be, you know, different. And they've already pushed out, Stats SA have pushed out the release to the end of June, almost a month later than originally planned.
Yeah.
So it's going to be data availability now that is going to be a challenge.
Yeah, absolutely. This COVID-19 is messing everybody up. Thank you very much, Siobhan, for your time. That was Siobhan Redford. She's an economist at RMB.